John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And tonight we're going to cover verses 31 through verse 37. And then next Sunday we're going to look at the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord willing. John chapter 19 and verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Tonight we're going to look at the proofs of Christ's literal death. After Jesus had died and his spirit had been committed to his heavenly Father, the Jews requested that those who were being crucified have their legs broken to hasten their death. Jesus had already died, but the two thieves were still alive. The Jews did not want the bodies to remain on the crosses during the special Sabbath of the Passover week. During Passover week, there were two Sabbath days set apart by God. The first Sabbath was to be observed the day after the lamb had been slain. And the second Sabbath of the week was the normal one on Saturday, according to Exodus 12:16. I believe that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. So the special Sabbath fell on Thursday. The very fact that Jesus referred to the resurrection with the 3 days and three nights of Jonah in the whale's belly, I believe he was in there for three nights and 3 days. Now, oftentimes, and I'm not going to go into all of that, that's definitely a controversial point. I believe this was a special Sabbath. Now, oftentimes, death by crucifixion would take up to 3 days. The victims were to die a slow and painful death. And part of the reason the Romans did that was to deter crime. They did this as a public spectacle. They wanted to show people that if you were guilty of sedition or some crime like that, you would suffer a painful death. Sometimes the victims would remain on the cross even after they were dead for several days, corrupting and their bodies putrefying. The Jews didn't want that kind of a ghastly sight to interfere with their Passover festivities. Jesus had died relatively quickly after he had been placed on the cross. He had already been badly beaten. He had already lost a great deal of blood before he ever hung on the cross. The physical torment and suffering that he went through is immeasurable. And I believe it may be one of the reasons why he died so quickly. He had physical, bodily issues to deal with, but he also had the wrath of Almighty God being poured out upon his body and his soul. Now, normally, the victims of crucifixion would be tied to the cross, yet Jesus was nailed to the tree, which brought about, naturally, a more rapid blood loss. Perhaps the greatest reason why Jesus died so quickly on the cross, because he was suffering the weight of my sins. The guilt of my sins. And not just me as an individual, but you think of all the elect from Adam until the very last one of God's elect or called. Jesus Christ had to bear the full weight, the full punishment for the sins of all of his people. And when you consider that it is a number out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, we're not talking about 8 or 10 people. We're talking about multitudes who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus dying in their stead. As the infinite God, he was able to suffer the elect's eternity of woe in those 6 hours. Now, there are heretics. Some lady preacher, I think her name's Joyce Meyer, said that Jesus went to hell and suffered there. That's a lie. All the suffering was on the cross. As a man, his life expired quickly under the weight of sin and under the law's condemnation. I believe he literally died. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he passed out or he went into a trance-like state, that he really never died, and that he later revived. They don't believe in a literal, physical, bodily resurrection. Listen, if you don't believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have no gospel. You have no good news. Jesus died. Now, the purpose of the breaking of the legs of the crucified would speed up the process of death. The Greek word for break conveys the meaning that the leg bones were actually shattered and splintered to pieces. I don't know if you've ever broken a bone. I had a compound fracture when I was 18 years old. And I'm telling you, it was very painful. But my bone wasn't shattered. The bones in my leg came out of my skin. And it was very painful, but can you imagine having someone take the equivalent of a ball bat and shattering your legs while you're alive, while you're already suffering? This is the cruelty that Roman crucifixion was known for. A heavy mallet or an iron bar was used for this. It's interesting to note that the request of the Jews actually facilitated the fulfilling of prophecy. Think about this. If they had not asked for Jesus and the thieves to be taken down off the crosses, the Romans probably would have left the bodies up there for several days. to decompose and to putrefy. So swift removal of the bodies ensured their burial the same day of their death, which would enable Christ to die and be buried the same day and fulfill His promise to rise from the dead in 3 full days. The soldiers shattered the legs of the 2 thieves. And this must have brought excruciating pain and trauma upon their bodies. It's interesting to note that even though one of the thieves was saved from the penalty of sin, because Jesus promised him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He was saved from the penalty of sin, but he was not spared man's justice for his crimes. Just because you're saved by the grace of God, it does not mean that the laws of sowing and reaping are nullified. They continue. That's why I tell young people, be careful. Be careful with your life. Because what you sow now, you're going to reap in time. And if you sow to the flesh, in drunkenness and drug abuse, in sexual immorality, in ungodliness, in rebellion, you will reap it later. You will reap the results, even though the Lord may save your soul. You still are subject to laws of sowing and reaping. God will overrule, but life is precious. You ought to count every day as something that you invest in the glory of God, serving Him, honoring Him. The soldiers shattered their legs, and that thief that was saved, that thief that was forgiven, still had to suffer the consequences of his actions and his sins. What a solemn thought that is. The laws of sowing and reaping. You and I may be freed from the penalty of sin, but we're not free from the human sufferings that are occasioned by sin. There are times they have long-lasting effects. I often think about David and the laws of sowing and reaping. A man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He plotted the death of Uriah the Hittite. And from that point on, his life was one continual chastening. Now, he was saved. He never lost his salvation. But his life was often filled with sorrow and chastening. When the soldiers came to the cross of Jesus, they noticed that he had already died. So they didn't bother to break his legs. This is one sure proof that Jesus Christ literally died upon the cross. If he wouldn't have already been dead, they would have done just like they did to the 2 thieves. The Roman soldiers were trained executioners who had been ordered by Pilate to break the legs of the victims to hasten their death. They would not have dared to disobey the orders of Pilate unless Jesus Christ had literally died. It's unthinkable and unreasonable to assume that the soldiers had made a mistake. They knew that Christ had died. which is why there was no reason for them to break his legs. Though the soldiers didn't break the legs of Jesus, one of them did take a spear and pierced his side. And it served as another infallible proof that the Lord Jesus had literally died. What a scene this must have been. Two thieves crying in excruciating pain in the middle cross silent as the Savior's lifeless corpse hung on that tree of cursing. And a soldier just, I don't know, well, I do know why he did it. It's because it was a fulfillment of prophecy. But can you envision the scene? A man taking a spear and violating this lifeless corpse of the Son of God. Plunging it into his side. And out came water and blood. It served as another infallible proof. The Savior had indeed died. J.C. Ryle said this, "Here we have the second proof that our Lord did really die. One of the soldiers, determined to make sure work and to leave nothing uncertain, thrust his spear into our Lord's side. In all probability, directing his thrust at the heart as a seat of vitality. That thrust made it certain. If there had been any doubt before, that the body on the central cross was actually dead. They believed it from appearance and perhaps from touch when they first came up to the cross. They made it quite certain by the thrust of the spear. The body of a person in a swoon would have given some sign of life when pierced with a spear." When the soldier pierced the side of Jesus, a miracle occurred. Blood and water flowed from the riven side of Christ. John was an eyewitness to this miracle and would later write about this event in 1 John 5, verses 6 through 12, to affirm that eternal life is obtained only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Interestingly enough, this is a passage of Scripture that many modern-day higher critics of the Word of God want to leave out of the Bible. I believe that this Scripture is of God. It says this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Holy Spirit inspired John to include Christ's side being pierced, and tying that whole passage to our obtaining of eternal life through faith in our Savior who died in our stead. The blood that flowed from the side of Christ symbolized that our sins had been cleansed through his personal sufferings and sacrifice. Faith in the blood of Christ results in complete justification. Again, another problem with modern religion that wants to promote works and psychology and feel good and work your way to heaven. Feel good about what you're doing. No, we are saved by the blood of the crucified one. We're saved by the one who gave his life and poured out his blood. We're justified by faith in his blood. We are sanctified by his sacrifice and his blood that put away our sins. Perhaps the water that flowed from the Savior's side symbolized that his work on the cross is the foundation of our sanctification. Water often symbolizes the cleansing of sanctification. Interestingly enough, it's tied to the life and death of Christ, and it talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 26, or verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Here is the living word who had died, and water and blood flow from him. Now John 19, verses 36 and 37, provide us with reasons why Christ's bones were not broken by the soldiers, and why those standing there saw blood and water flowing from the side of Christ. For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. They were fulfillment of prophetic Scripture relating specifically, precisely to the death of Jesus Christ. Do you see how careful and precise God is to fulfill prophecy in a literal sense and manner? This was not a spiritualization of the prophecies in the Old Testament. This was a literal fulfillment. For 1,500 years, the Jews had faithfully followed the instructions concerning the Passover lamb recorded in Exodus 12:46, neither shall you break a bone thereof. Now this ancient type was being fulfilled in the death of the final sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Those who witnessed the water and blood flowing from the side of Christ were partially fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 12:10. They saw firsthand the fulfillment of Zechariah 13:1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. How we ought to praise God tonight for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross to fulfill prophecy and to redeem the elect. He literally died so that we might have life. And that everlastingly. I hope you know Him tonight. It's a humbling thought when you consider that Jesus died for you, for your sins. And that He gives you His righteousness so that you may be accepted in the Beloved. How glorious it is to know Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. It's why I preach this all the time. I preach the gospel. I preach Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. Because this is the theme of the Word of the Living God. Let's all stand.
Page number 79.